It's a Monday edition of Locked On Red Wings. We've got some rumors about NHL division realignments that could bring back the Red Wings and Blackhawks rivalry. We've got a national writer who believes that Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider are the only Red Wings prospects that belong on a top 50 list. And we've got some wonderful news about a Red Wings prospect overseas. It's all coming up next on a Monday edition of Locked On Red Wings.
Your Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. Today is Monday, October 19th, 2020. I'm your host, Detroit sports writer Nolan Bianchi. I'm here today, as always, alongside longtime Red Wings fan Ethan Smith. Ethan, welcome back. How's it going?
It's going. It's Monday. I'm happy. Rolling on. Rolling into a new week. Let's rolling get it going. I like your Canucks hat.
Did you have a good week? Thank you. Did you have a good weekend?
Phenomenal weekend. Hung out with my family all weekend. That's great. Carving pumpkins. That's I got great. A really big pumpkin, and I carved a tiny little face on it.
We have not surprisingly a lot of things to get to today, but we got like a lot of bits and bobs, like lots of prospect notes and
bits and bobs,
stuff like that. But I did want to ask, because we talked about it on Friday's episode, NHL 21 came out at midnight. Did you play it? What'd you think?
I did a little bit of the be a pro mode, kind of got into that a little bit. I wish I could play a little bit more to get my overall up before getting drafted in the NHL. Doesn't make sense that I'm putting up. I put the skill level on rookie so I can get more skill points to it doesn't matter, but
naturally,
you know, I'm getting back into the hang of it. Haven't played it in a while.
You know what I think is the only game where it's fun to do be a pro mode and like play every game and also on rookie and just mash is baseball. Like I love 2K? That. I was never a 2K, but like MLB The Show. Like that would be fun to like turn all the everything up, because at the end of the day, you still only hit like one home run a game or like every other game, or you know, you might hit two home runs a game, but you're still getting out, you know, every so often.
Right.
But with hockey games, it's like, kind of like ridiculous sometimes.
The show isn't coming. It's, I think next year, starting next year, they made it cross platform. So I'll be able to play that on Xbox. So I'll get that whenever that comes out next year. But until then, I just have to keep struggling with lackluster EA Sports. And sometimes some little bit 2K, but mostly EA Sports.
I did a little bit of the franchise mode. I took over so the first night I played it, like the rosters hadn't updated yet, because I played it like on Thursday night and they didn't have the new rosters. So I like just messed around with like their hut, and I don't know. I don't think I'm ever going to get into that. And I especially don't want to get into it, because I know that I'll impulsively like buy things probably at like 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. And
yeah, don't do that.
That plays right into their hands. And that's exactly what we don't want.
Franchise mode's cool.
I like franchise mode. Can just get like, sometimes I find myself just skipping through too much of it, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm having any fun or not. I'm literally just going through the motions.
Right. Yeah. It's something it's better when you take your time on. Like what I do is I like to go through like 2 years of draft prospects that I know are going to be taken high in real life. Yeah. And then I'll kind of up their potential a little bit. So there's something that I can rebuild into.
Yeah.
And just take it. Then it's more taking my time and making sure everything looks good. But I mean, not much you can do. It's good to just try and keep the salary cap on and trying to balance how awful the Red Wings were and stuff. Like it's harder with like Abby's contract being gone now. I mean, Eisman's kind of set it up. Like last year was fun, 'cause it was like, oh my God, this team's just awful. What am I going to do? But now it's a little bit more manageable. So it's kind of just looking more into the future and trying to get her picks, you know?
So we have a quote here from Jan Bednash. He went in the fourth round of the 2020 NHL draft, a Czech goaltender. Red Wings liked themselves some Czechs, following up on the old Peter Mrazek magic, hoping to maybe recapture that. But he said on a Zoom call that when he was younger, quote, "I love to make Dominic Hasek saves. I saw some documentary from 2002 when the Wings won the Stanley Cup with Dominic Hasek, Brett Hull, and Steve Yzerman. I like them." That story comes to us from Ted Coffin of the Detroit News. My biggest takeaway is that it's crazy to think about that there's NHL draft picks who weren't alive for the Red Wings 2002 Stanley Cup. Or like, you know, less, or that, like maybe a few months old.
You know, like, call me like a Debbie Downer. Like, I think that, like, you they've missed plays and calls that we know are iconic and we have a vivid memory of. But another thing I think of too with this younger age group players, I mean, obviously just keeps getting more and more ridiculous in my mind every year. That's my girlfriend's dog. Gonna have to put that to rest in a second. But anyway, I think that it's crazy that, like, I think of like 9/11 and like these kids weren't alive. Yeah. And like, I'm in elementary school and I have a vivid memory of that. Like, that blows my mind. That's honestly what I think of probably the most when I see these kids 2002, 2003, like being born. It's like, my God, dude, I was in fourth grade, fifth grade. Like, it's just wild to me. Time is flying. Time's a flat circle.
Lucas Raymond, the Red Wings' most recent number 4 overall draft pick, did an interview with Carly Johnston on the Red Wings Instagram and said that his favorite food was tacos. This note maybe not as important, but tacos are my favorite food as well. So I think he's well on his way to becoming one of my favorite Red Wings draft picks ever. And he said he liked the chicken ones too, which I was impressed by, because chicken is not, you know, like the most obvious best taco, but my go-to tacos that I like to make, and one of my go-to dishes is like this very extravagant chicken taco that's just very good. So
I don't think I've ever had a chicken taco before.
Oh, like, I've
had fish tacos and stuff like that, but I've never had chicken. I'll make you
some. Please. Yeah. All right, perfect.
It's a pretty interesting thing to go off of too, being Swedish and everything. Taco.
I know, right? I know, right? I like it.
Life's crazy.
Yeah. What's the deal? And then in more serious Red Wings prospect news, Jonathan Berggren's point streak came to an end last week at 11 games. Failed to register a point against Farstad, but got right back to it with a 2-assist game on Saturday. He has 13 points in 9 games. That's good enough for second in the league. And he is also the second youngest player in the SHL in the top 50 of scoring. The only other player who's 20 years old is Linus Oberg. He was a 7th rounder by the Sharks, ranks 49th, and is only 2 days older than our boy Jonathan Berggren. So pretty impressive stuff that he's been doing over there.
You know, I'm a big viewer of the Detroit Red Wings Reddit, and they're kind of doing right now, they're doing a fan prospect ranking. And I was kind of shocked. It was obviously one was Raymond at about 60%. And then two was Sider at like a ridiculous 90-something%.
Yeah.
And I was voting for third, and I voted for Berggren because he's just been tearing it up. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It could just be people not necessarily knowing what's going on overseas. But people had Foligno. Foligno was the one that actually got third, then Berggren came in fourth. Mm-hmm. But this guy is just skyrocketing up my boards. Like, I love what he's doing.
Well, he was a guy too, like, that when he was drafted, like, he kind of had the same excitement around him that I would maybe attribute to, like, Niederbach, where it was just like, he has a lot of upside. He's a really, really kind of dynamic player, and injuries have really kind of taken him out his last 2 years. So really, hopefully, I think the most important thing to watch down the stretch is that he stays healthy. But obviously, if he can stay healthy and score at this clip, I mean, that's just – you could see him in the NHL maybe next year. Who knows? Mo Sider really quick, also, yeah.
Really quick, too, before we get moving on, Otto Kivenmaki, drafted in the seventh round of the 2018 draft, has 6 points in 6 games in the Finnish Elite League. Let's go, baby. I know. They're and projecting.
It's amazing that he's even playing hockey right now, because he suffered a pretty bad head injury a couple months ago, and a lot of people thought that his career might be done. So the fact that he is doing what he's doing is not only good for the long-term outlook of the Detroit Red Wings, but just remarkable from a human health standpoint. So Mo Sider also made his debut last week for Rogel. He had an assist in his second game on Saturday. Jovellino likewise made his debut for Malmo, but has yet to register a point. yeah, just keep an eye out for Bergen. The SHL is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year for Red Wings fans. Skellefteå plays Moritz Seider and Rogel on Saturday. So we'll get a nice Bergeron and Mo Seider matchup. We got Bergeron and Lucas Raymond. I believe it was last week. They did not disappoint. I think Bergeron had 2 assists and Raymond scored the shootout winner, shootout game winner. So keep an eye on the SHL. We'll keep you updated periodically on that. Up next, we've got Scott Wheeler's post-draft top 50 prospects rankings. Find out the 2 Red Wings prospects that fall on that list. We got that all coming up next. But first, we got to talk to you today about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They've got 6 new amazing flavors that make the improved Built Bar even more deliciouser than Built Bar 1.0. They've got caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Now, I don't know about you, but those bars all sound delicious to me. And I tell you what, I am somebody who has my life completely changed by the Built Bar. I used to go to the gas station every day and buy a protein bar for myself so I could have it on the go. You know, I'd stop and grab it into work or even stop it and grab one on my lunch break. Whatever it was, I was throwing multiple dollars every single day away on protein bars, but no longer. And I even have better tasting bars than I was before. With the coconut almond, for example, Ethan, you get 18 grams of protein at the expense of only 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. I don't think you're going to be finding anything at the gas station that treats you as good as that. When you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. That's the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
I trust my eyes to Dr. Ramani. You should too.
All right, moving on. Segment 2 here at the Lockdown Red Wings podcast. It's Monday. We're looking at some prospects, bits and bobs. And Scott Wheeler from The Athletic released his post-draft top 50 prospects rankings. Before we get into this, we should note that Philip Zadina, last year's number 12, was graduated out of the group because he has played more than 25 games for the Red Wings last season. And that's Wheeler's cutoff. I think he says, like, if it's more than 25 games in a season at the NHL level, then you kind of lose the tag of prospect for him. Joe Valeno also fell out of the rankings, coming in at number 33 last year. But the 2 Red Wings that we have today, we'll start with number 5, Lucas Raymond, the most recent first-round draft pick of the Red Wings. He's ranked behind Lafreniere, Byfield, Marco Rossi, and Cole Perfetti in that order. That kind of surprised me just a little bit. Wheeler goes, he's uniquely equipped with escaping out of that trouble, whether that's with a short 3-foot pass through feet and sticks when he is pushed into traffic, or a deceitful shoulder fake or foot adjustment to pull away. You almost want Raymond to get in trouble because it normally means he's drawn to 2 or 3 players to him and everyone else is open. As Raymond's opportunity at the pro level has grown to match his skill level, it's become increasingly clear that his poise and comfort when he's under pressure should translate in the NHL, especially when he's surrounded by better players. So that's nice. And it's also very exciting to see him ranked number 5, because that kind of validates the selection by the Detroit Red Wings. But I was interested to see them, both Rossi and Perfetti, who I think was on the short list of guys that Red Wings fans wanted after Raymond, both came in ahead of him.
You know, I'd be quite frankly shocked if all 3 of these centermen in, well, I guess you could say 4 with Stützle too, eh? If Rossi, Perfetti, Byfield, and Stützle all project out to being where they are, you see that doesn't tend to happen in NHL drafts. Look back to like the Strome draft. I mean, that stuff happens. Sam Bennett. I mean, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
I'm with what we've been saying last week, I'm over the moon in excitement for Raymond, and quite frankly, just keeps building. Mm-hmm. There's everything I read on him, everything whenever I see him play, it just feels more and more and more and more and more like the correct pick. I'm just so happy we have Steve Yzerman as our general manager.
Right. And a thing that I also wanted to get your opinion on, maybe this is something that we should ask like a draft prospect person.
I am a draft prospect person.
No, like an actual scout or something.
What do you mean?
Right. It's kind of weird that, like, I noticed as we got closer to the draft, like, Timmy Stützle was ranked anywhere between 4 and 8 for the most part. Like he was ranked like a lot of true actual prospect websites, Elite Prospects, Dauber, et cetera, like had him ranked not in the top three, which is why I thought it was so weird that it was a consensus top three. But he's been anywhere, but like Elite Prospects, he was eight. Lucas Raymond always consistently ranked in that 3 to 5 region. So just something that I'm kind of curious about is like why everybody was so high on him except for the actual analysts.
Kind of think it's like a slow. It's a skill. It's a skill area. And when he's drawn comparisons to Kane, obviously that's going to open up eyes that you could say, okay, that's this man's potential. Yeah. And that's it. When you see, I mean, when you watch Patrick Kane, dude, it's literally just watching like a Datsuk on the ice, the way he can control the puck and the way he controls the entire sheet of ice when the puck is on his stick. It's fascinating.
And then at number 22, we have Moritz Seider. Wheeler goes, the thing about projecting Seider is that there isn't a lot of if to it. I'm not convinced he's ever going to be talented enough offensively or aggressive enough offensively to run a top power play or put up the kind of counting stats that still seem to help the league-wide notoriety of defensemen. Those are worries of upside not making it, and he's going to make it. And he's likely going to play a lot and be asked to be an all-situations guy when he does. So, again, Moritz Seider, a guy who didn't even rank in the top 50 on Scott Wheeler's rankings last year, now up to 22. And I think Red Wings fans probably, I don't know if they would expect him to be higher or lower. I was expecting him to be maybe closer to the teens, so not that far off, but I still think at the end of the day, probably a little lower than most Red Wings fans would have had him.
But let me throw this
bias.
Let me throw this off of you.
Yeah.
I see him projecting out to be a Ryan Suter type defenseman.
Yeah.
Phenomenal on his own end. Still going to put up 50 points a year, mostly assists, couple goals in there. He'll still get some power play time, but he's not going to be that quarterback type.
Well, no, you know?
He'll be the guy at the point, but like it's not going to be – he's going to be dishing pucks to Raymond and Zadina, and quite frankly, that's exactly what we're looking for with these high-skill forwards.
Yeah, and one thing that Wheeler does note here at the end, he said he really does need to look at the net and look to shoot rather than deferring to his teammates when he gets the puck, though. That might have something to do with it, and who knows if we see him kind of start to have a bigger knack for actually shooting the puck, we might see a little bit of change with that.
And don't forget, too, that this man is 18 years old.
Yes.
Playing in the AHL. You think this confidence is not going to grow exponentially when he becomes more of a man? Like this kid is 18 and he's did a great job in the AHL last year.
I saw a clip going around on Twitter too. This one came from Cameron Com, K-U-O-M. It says Seider still one mean MF. And it's just like Seider getting in somebody's face after the play in his first SHL or second SHL game. Or no, it would be his SHL debut. So yeah, love to see
it
that.
It seems like a gamer. I love it.
I know.
I absolutely love it.
So that's all we got for the Red Wings in their top 50 prospect rankings. We are going to move on to Bill Foley, the owner of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Let something slip at the end of last week about a potential division realignment. We've got more for you on the other side of this break. Keep it locked in right here. You're listening to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. It's your team every day. Let's go. All right, we're back. Final segment of the day here at the Lockdown Red Wings podcast. Bill Foley, the owner of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, let one slip near the end of last week. He was doing a radio spot and got asked about trading Nate Schmidt to a division rival in the Vancouver Canucks, to which Foley answered, yeah, but they're probably going to be in the Canadian division. Now, this is pretty much all we have in terms of
I didn't rumors, press him on that.
I don't know. I didn't listen to the actual interview. I just read this story. But so then there was a little graphic going around, and actually the Locked On Avalanche account tweeted it out of a new map of like proposed new divisions. So you have the Canadian division that's got 7 teams in it. The rest of them would have 8 teams. You'd have the Pacific and Central division where you've got San Jose, Vegas, Los Angeles Kings, Arizona Coyotes, the Ducks, Avalanche, Wild, and Dallas. You have the Atlantic/Central, which is basically just a combination of the Red Wings' current and previous division rivals. You got Boston, Tampa, Buffalo, Florida, Chicago, Nashville, and St. Louis.
Chicago.
And then you have the Metropolitan Division. The Rangers, Penguins, Islanders, Flyers, Devils, Blue Jackets, Capitals, and Hurricanes. I think this is really interesting, mostly because it's just interesting to like see division realignments, and it would be fun to, I guess, see some of these teams a little bit more often. A lot of good rivalries will be coming back for the Red Wings, just in time for the Red Wings and Blackhawks to be in full suck mode, along with the Nashville Predators there. Their old rivalry with the Blues, probably not much of a rivalry anymore. What do you think the most interesting division is, though? Because I think the Central is very top-heavy. You've got the Bruins, Lightning, and St. Louis, who two of the most recent Stanley Cup champions, plus Boston, went to one last year and was the number one seed pretty much all year. But if you look at the Metropolitan Division, is there a bad team in there besides New Jersey? You got New York, both New York teams who both, well, I guess the Rangers technically didn't make the playoffs, but they got better in that you can probably expect them to take a step forward this year. You've got Pittsburgh, who I probably don't see slipping out of the playoff picture until at least another bad year like they had. You've got the Islanders, who seemed to get better last year, but they've lost some pieces. Philly is kind of in the same boat. New Jersey, who wasn't great, but the only team in this category to finish in the bottom seven. You've got Columbus, Washington, and Carolina, all of those guys, playoff teams. So really kind of an interesting mix here. That's my take on it, though.
I, quite frankly, Metropolitan Division can kick rocks. I don't care. They're all good. Oh, we're all in the
Northeastern coast of the U.S. They're all good, but nobody's great. I know. I'm not a fan.
You know, so that's whatever to me. The Pacific Division, Pacific/Central, whatever you want to call that. I mean, it's all right. I feel bad for a couple teams like Minnesota that's going to have to travel a ton for these games.
Yeah.
I feel the worst for this Canadian division. For the however many games that Montreal is going to have to play, Vancouver is going to be quite a bit of traveling, especially for just a team in your division. It's also going to be unfortunate, too, for the playoffs. You have to think that however many teams, that's really limiting the amount of Canadian teams are going to be in the playoffs, and that's not necessarily good for the sport.
I don't necessarily know that that's true, because I think you might also say that you would automatically get four teams out of the Canadian division.
Yeah, I know, but they're going to be kicked out right away.
Which does limit it, I suppose. Well, yeah. I don't really know how they'll do the playoffs. I guess that'd be kind of interesting. I'm sure under these circumstances, like they're doing, like there'd be some sort of bubble. Maybe they do a reseeding within the conference, but who knows on that.
Now, for the Red Wings, though, I love having a division with Boston in it. That's going to be a bunch of fun. Mm-hmm. I love those games. Tampa's going to be a bunch of fun. Give me a Chicago-Detroit division. Like, we're so close to each other. There's no reason why we shouldn't be in the same division. And that's a great rivalry.
I would say the only thing where it logistically makes sense
to and Nashville too. Sorry. And Nashville too, man. Like, I remember all of these playoff games, how much we hated Nashville. Nashville was awful.
For sure.
And now it's
– we're in. However – I would say I think the one thing logistically, and this is not even really that big of an issue, I guess, at the end of the day, but I think the one thing to that is the fact that just different time zones.
Yeah, whatever. If they're going to do an Which entire isn't Canadian that big division, of a deal. Who cares? Yeah, it obviously doesn't matter if they're doing an entire Canadian division.
Right, for
this is how it should be forever. Do this forever.
I guess. It logistically, it doesn't make sense long term, I don't think, but – any other thoughts on this before we kind of wrap it up here? I had one other thought, but I cannot remember for the life of me what it is.
I'm happy Toronto's not in our division. Kick rocks. Happy we don't have to see them. Let's see.
Bummer we don't get to see Montreal.
Boo hoo. Oh, sorry we can't beat them. Sorry we can't beat them four times. All right, whatever. Yeah. Hey, it's going to have to happen sometime. It's weird that they. Why is Columbus not in our division?
I don't know. I've kind of always wondered that too.
They're right there.
What makes them like outside? Like, because I feel like there is something that where mentally you kind of think that it makes sense. Here's the thing, though. I think that the Red Wings group better with the Atlantic teams, and the Blue Jackets group better with the Metropolitan teams anyways. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because that's actually the way it is, that my brain was just like, okay, that's how it should be. But
you know what, Nolan? Let me bounce something off you really quick.
Yeah.
Out of in our division, it's Boston, Tampa, Buffalo, Florida, us, Chicago, Nashville, St. Louis. Now you tell me, is that not a better chance for us to be better next year, like you predict we're going to be, than if we were in our other division?
Well, I don't really know, because of the fact that if they're only playing these teams and they have to play half of their games against the Bruins, Lightning, and Blues, like, I don't think that's ideal.
Four other teams that aren't as good as those teams. It's better than being in the Metropolitan.
Yeah. I really have no idea what this would do, because it's like a weird mix, right? Like you have it's like super top heavy with those three teams. Buffalo could take a step forward next year. They could be a playoff team. Florida is like trending in the right direction, I think, for all intents and purposes.
Whatever. Nashville, they always mess it up.
Yeah, I know. Nashville and Chicago are really the only two teams that are trending downward, though.
Boston just lost Krug and didn't get shit for him, man.
Yeah, but it's Boston. They're going to be okay.
That's still a big part of the power play and offense. Tampa Bay has to gut their team, losing Tyler Johnson.
I don't think they're going to end up losing Tyler Johnson. I think they'll probably keep it. I have no idea. It'll be you'll just have to kind of see how it shakes out. Because like I said, too, maybe they'll only play teams from the same conference, but they'll do like three or four games against the Atlantic/Central teams, and then a couple games against the Metro teams or something. I have no idea, but we got to wrap this up. Actually, I'll save it for another time. Rate, review, subscribe to Locked On Red Wings podcast. Yeah. Make sure you tune in again so you can figure out why I went, and then didn't say anything. Follow us on Twitter @LO_Red Wings. We're posting episodes there daily. Some nice quote graphics that, maybe you tickle your fancy a little bit, and a whole lot of other fun stuff like that. We will be back tomorrow. I'm not sure, as we record this on Sunday night, exactly what the plan is, but I think we are going to start that series with Kyle Demetrius this week, Ridiculous Moments in Hockey History, so that should be a lot of fun. Not going to want to miss out on that. And then I just got a text across the wire from one tech call from the Detroit News, trying to figure something out for this week, so don't want to miss out on the TED Talk. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. It's your team
every day.